That's 445-2200 and talk with Tom Steitner or Tammy Steitner, second generation of the Steitner family. Pre-arrangement by the Thomas M. Steitner Funeral Home in Chicora. Go ahead, give them a call. Do it today while you're thinking about it.
Mostly cloudy today, a high just about 27 degrees, a low tonight down to 11. The temperatures are going to go up over the next couple of days. So sunshine on Wednesday with a high of 36, Thursday some clouds and a high of 43. Friday, chance of rain in the afternoon, so that means a cloudy day for us and a high of 45. We're 25 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave Malarkey's coming up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Pretty gray day today. Several times I've looked out the window, and it looked like the sun was trying to break through that cloud cover. And it would brighten up a little bit, and then the next thing you know, it was kind of dark again. So we've really seen no sunshine. Temperature, though, not too bad, considering. Temperatures are in the mid-20s. Looking for high today, maybe another couple of notches. That would match yesterday's high of 28. The big thing we have going for us in this cold snap, well, two things, actually. Cold snap's not going to last very long. We start to see a moderating temperature tomorrow. But secondly, we haven't had a great deal of wind. Now, when this cold snap first started, and that was last Saturday night, if you'll recall, and into Sunday, very windy. But yesterday, not bad, not much wind, not much wind overnight. We've had a little bit here and there the first half of the day today, but certainly no howling, gusting winds, so the wind chill factor hasn't been all that bad. And it's going to start warming up tomorrow, so good. Open talk on the first portion of the It's Your Turn program today. Love to have you join us in conversation. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Going to be talking a little bit later with the career life coach, Greg Salzer is his name. And he is going to discuss 27 questions to make you sweat. These are thinking questions about your life and where you stand and so on and so forth. He'll be joining us by telephone today. We're also going to be talking a little bit about smart retirement later on the program today. But open talk to begin with. 283-2525 is our number. Should state lawmakers in Harrisburg close the loopholes in the state law about smoking in public places? There are moves to do this again. There have been moves in the past, but it's never gone anywhere in the state legislature. In case you're not familiar with it, there are certain loopholes for bars. If food makes up less than 20% of the sales of a bar, that bar can apply for an exemption and allow smoking in there. And there are some bars that do that. Private clubs are also exempt. I walked into a private club with a friend of mine last year. I'm not a member of the club. Walked in with him, and I just about had to turn around and go back. The smell of stale tobacco and smoke was horrible. So there are state lawmakers who have introduced legislation that would eliminate the exemptions. What do you think? Should we ban smoking in all public places, no exemptions anymore. Neighboring states have done that. New Jersey, Maryland, District of Columbia, New York, Ohio, no exemptions. If you're in a bar, you're not allowed to smoke. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk. Let's get to the people, see what the people have to say today. Hi there, caller. Thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. How about you?
Hey, good. I want to pick your brain for a second.
Sure.
Evans City Road, Route 68.
Right.
You're coming up to Newcastle Road, and you're on 68. There's a stoplight there.
Yeah, well, just let me think for a second now. You're coming up to Newcastle Road.
Up towards, like, Midas or whatever, you know, at the end of 68, right towards the end of Newcastle.
Okay. Which direction are you coming?
You're coming towards Butler High School.
Okay. I know where you're at. All right.
And there's a stoplight there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Once that stoplight hits, I see people all the time. They come up to that light, and then they continue through it. And there's a sign there that says, stop here on red, but you see people stop there, and they act like it's a turn right on red.
I know what you're talking about. It's kind of a Y intersection. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Correct. What is the correct law there? Because I see people do both all day long.
I know the intersection. I seldom go through that intersection, but I know the one that you're talking about. So you're saying that you should not be allowed to make a right turn there?
I don't know, because I've seen people where they stop there and they wait for the light to turn green, and the person behind them lays the horn on.
Yeah.
with the red light on, because there's nobody coming on Newcastle Road, and they want people to just stop and go. I'm just curious what the law is there.
Well, it's certainly a borderline area, that's for sure. It's kind of a gray area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's another place, the only other place that I can think of that's even similar to that, if you're traveling on Hanson Avenue from the Picklegate Crossing and headed toward the city of Butler, toward Newcastle Street, there's a place where there's a Y intersection with a traffic light to allow you to go down into Pullman Square or to continue on Hanson Avenue. You know the intersection I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
And that's the same thing. You know, I've seen a lot of people stop there if they're in the right-hand lane and then go ahead on red if there's, you know, nobody coming. Now, that seems to make sense to me, because if you're coming the other direction, you're not allowed to make a left turn.
Yes.
You understand what I mean? So there's not going to be anybody turning in front of you, and it, you know, seemed to be a pretty safe thing to do. Is that the same thing at the intersection you're talking about, or is it different?
It's just a little bit different, but it's very similar, where it's just it's kind of a catch-22, and I'm not sure of who's... You see people all day long doing one thing or the other,
mm-hmm.
and there's no, you know... I'm just kidding. There's a sign there that says, no, you know, stop here on red, but people will just pull up there as if it's a stop sign,
but does
and
it,
just keep going.
Does it say no turn on red?
Oh, maybe... No, I thought it said stop here in red, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah. Well, there's several.
Maybe somebody knows.
Several places where there's no turn on red, but I don't think there's one. Where, well, let's see. Maybe somebody knows the rule on that. I do not. I'm speculating here.
Yeah. same here. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Sure. Thanks. Good to talk with you.
Bye.
283-2525. Anybody know the rule on that? Yeah. That intersection. That's a Y intersection. Right there. Used to be a... what used to be right there? Rita's Ice Cream or something, right? Right at that point. That's where we're talking about. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. Open talk on the It's Your Turn program today. What do you think about the exemption for smoking in some public places, and mainly in bars and private clubs? Should that be eliminated? Should the exemption be eliminated? I mentioned the other states surrounding us where there are no exemptions. It's simply no smoking in public places in Ohio, New Jersey, New York, Maryland. West Virginia, however, the other state that borders Pennsylvania, has no restrictions. on smoking in public places. You can smoke anywhere you want, indoors or out in West Virginia. That goes way against the trend these days. Anyway, there are introducing legislation in Harrisburg that would eliminate those special exemptions. 283-2525 is the number. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Dave. How you doing?
Fine. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. I got the answer for that question.
Oh, yes.
And the reason I know that I go that way to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
You stop on red, but you can turn on red. And the reason I know that, several times there's been state policemen right behind me.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, you have to stop, obviously, but you can make, it's a slight right, you can turn on red.
Mm-hmm. If you check and see if there's nobody coming down, Newcastle Road, then you should be safe because there's nobody that's going to be making a turn from Newcastle, right-hand turn. It's impossible. It's a hairpin turn to, turn on.
Right. Hey, Dave, real quick on that smoking thing.
Yeah.
I'm a smoker, and I understand. I don't smoke in my house, and I try not to smoke around people who don't smoke. But the line of work I do, I won't tell you what I do, but I'm in and out of people's houses all day long.
Okay.
And there are some places I go to, and let me tell you something. If I took a drug test after I left there, I'd fail it. I don't take drugs, but some of these people with secondhand smoke on this marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you that, who's ever offended by nicotine smoke, God bless you, but if I'm around someone who's smoking that garbage, it makes me deathly sick.
It is very...
just food for thought.
Very potent, and it lingers for a long time, too, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, when I was in high school, I tried that a couple times, never was hooked on it, never tried it since the 11th grade, but I never remember it smelling like that. I mean, the smell... And it's this crazy. You wouldn't believe how many people use that in their homes. And I walk into their homes, and there's just clouds of it everywhere.
Oh,
and it's like, I always have to tell my manager, I hope I don't get drug tested, because I could probably fail from secondhand.
Nice to talk to you, my friend.
Have a good day, my friend.
And you. So long. 283-2525. This is Dave. Caller, thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Okay, hello.
Hi.
Another response to your question about the right turn on red.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And that's the one up there by the burger.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one.
Because of my job in transportation, I'm required to take a defensive driving course annually.
Mm-hmm.
And with our instructor, that question has come up a couple times, and like the previous caller mentioned, you take it literally, you can turn right, because that's considered a right turn. But it is really unclear with our state laws, and I guess in his opinion, too, my instructor's opinion, that it kind of means the same thing, because it doesn't say you can't turn on red.
Yeah.
So, but I use that intersection almost every day, and you wait it out, naturally make sure the coast is clear, but as long as it doesn't say you can't turn right on red, and that's what my instructor says, and... So he's the one certified in that kind of training, et cetera. So he's up on the laws, obviously.
I
chime in with that.
I would agree, and it makes perfect sense. And there are many intersections, not many, but I know of several in the immediate Butler area where it specifically says no turn on red. And if it mm-hmm. does, if it doesn't say that, then I would have to assume that it's legal, you know?
That's the way I look at it, too. If they don't want you to turn on red, then it should say so.
Amen to that. Thanks, my friend.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, good to hear you.
Sure, same here. 283-2525 is our number. We need to take a break, so let's do that. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program today, 283-2525. We'll be back right after these words. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month. client aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Home care through Concordia Visiting Nurses includes services which foster recovery, rehabilitation, recuperation, and health education. Ask your doctor about medical support needs at home. Ask for a referral for Concordia Visiting Nurses and enjoy the benefits of skilled practitioners coming to your home to help you feel better. For tips for family caregivers, visit elderpagespittsburgh.com.
Heard a story on CBS Network News here on WISR earlier this morning. Hey, we got the Super Bowl coming up here in about a week and a half now in Miami. What's the name of that stadium down in a Hard Rock Cafe Stadium or something like that? I think it is. It's hard for me to remember. It used to be the Orange Bowl, and then it was that video store that doesn't exist anymore. I think it's Hard Rock State. Anyway, it's in Miami, where the Miami Dolphins play. Super Bowl coming up. And to go to the Super Bowl these days, tickets are thousands of dollars. They really are. And that doesn't include travel. That's just a ticket to get into the game. I figure, 99% of the people that go, it's like corporations that buy tickets or something like that. You know, the average person, who's going to pay that kind of money? I don't care how big a fan you are of the Kansas City Chiefs or the San Francisco 49ers. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. Yeah. So anyway, the story on CBS Radio today, you know what the cost of a ticket was to the first Super Bowl? Pat Parker's looking at me through the glass here. He's engineering the program. Cost of a ticket to the first Super Bowl? I'll give you a little bit of a clue. It was in the Los Angeles Coliseum, where they still play, by the way, not in Los Angeles. $12. I know. I'm not making this up. $12. And it was not a sellout either, by the way. Of course, that's a humongous stadium, but still, it was nowhere near a sellout. Nowhere near. Green Bay Packers and, I don't know, Kansas City Chiefs, I think, wasn't it? Yeah. And the Kansas City Chiefs went again following the 1969 season, and they haven't been there since. You think about it, think how spoiled we are if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. The Kansas City Chiefs, first of all, they've never won a Super Bowl, and they haven't even been to the Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years. Meanwhile, the Steelers have won 6 Super Bowls, lost a few along the way. I don't know how many they've been to altogether. They've lost 2 or 3 that I know of. Won 6. It's incredible. And Kansas City hasn't even been there in 50 years. So, I'm no huge fan of Patrick Mahomes, nor of the Chiefs, but, God bless them. Let them have their fun. They haven't been there in 50 years. Andy Reid's kind of a likable guy. He was a coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Took them to the Super Bowl, but they lost. So he's never won a Super Bowl. One of the few coaches to ever take 2 different teams to the Super Bowl, though. And he obviously is a great coach, no question about that. Great judge of talent. I wonder why Philadelphia got rid of him, to be honest with you. But anyway, he's kind of nice. I guess, I don't really have a favorite. I don't really care who wins. I guess I would go for Kansas City, mainly for a negative reason. That's because the San Francisco 49ers, I believe, have five Super Bowl wins, don't they? So if they win, they would tie the Steelers and the Patriots for six. So I don't want that to happen. So I guess for negative reasoning, I guess I would be rooting for Kansas City. 283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Dave, yeah. I just wanted to say the Kansas City Chiefs haven't been there in 50 years. However, they have won a Super Bowl. They did win a Super Bowl 50 years ago, and Len Dawson was the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And you know who the coach was?
No, I don't.
I think it was Hank Stram, wasn't it?
Hank Stram,
yes. That would have been my guess, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was a long time ago.
Oh, sure. That's a long dry spell.
Look how spoiled we are. The Steelers, how many times we've not only been there, but won. Kansas City hasn't been there for 50 years. That's amazing.
But, you know, there are several other teams that haven't been there either.
You know, that's a great trivia question. I don't know. I don't think Cleveland has ever played in the Super Bowl.
No, they had a good chance at one time, and they had a coach. His name was Sam Ratigliano, and they were down. They had their opponent. They were down to like the 1 or 2 yard line, so all they had to do was kick a field goal. And they were in, but he was real smug and cocky about it. And he said, no, we're not going to take just the easy way out in a field goal. We're going to punch that ball over the goal line. He tried to punch it, and they got stopped on the one-yard line. never heard anything about him again.
Yeah, and haven't heard a whole lot about Cleveland since then either.
You're right, right. However, no matter who reaches a Super Bowl, with the system they have to go through, it's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, indeed it is. You're correct.
Just to get there.
Yeah. You know. Well, thanks for the reminder about Kansas City winning under Hank Stram and who did you say was the quarterback? Len Dawson.
Len Dawson, yes. Wow. Yes, wow.
Thanks, my friend. Good to talk with you today.
Hey, have a good day.
And you too. Bye. Yes, man. So long. We need to take another break. I guess we're about out of time for Open Talk here. We're going to be chatting with our first guest of the day in just a couple of moments here. His name is Greg Salzer. He'll be joining us by telephone on the It's Your Turn program here for a gray, somewhat chilly but not frigid Tuesday. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes here.
Why pay more when you can get tobacco for less? Their store in Pullman Square Plaza includes a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a great variety of cigars and a 19-foot vape juice bar, not to mention their Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department supplies a wide selection of high-quality CBD products and is always adding to their product lines. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less, with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
You've been so busy getting ready for the holidays that you totally forgot to get your vehicle ready for the winter. No worries. West End Tire and Service kept their snow tire inventory up, but don't wait too long as they're harder to come by later in the season. West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great service, installation, and staff as Siemens provided for years. Their trained technicians will check your air pressure and do tire evaluations for free. Anytime. Stop in and see what's new and be sure to visit them on Facebook. West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street next to Battery Warehouse Plus Butler.
Armco Credit Union has one sweetheart of a loan rate waiting for you. Hi, I'm Kurt Heekins, loan manager at Armco Credit Union. And whether you're thinking of buying a vehicle or refinancing a loan from another financial institution, now is the time to take advantage of our low, low rates. Now through February the 29th, you can get a 60-month auto loan for as low as 2.25 annual percentage rate. Check out armcocu.com for other rates and terms. Apply for a loan online or visit us in person.
Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome, listeners. Coming up on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey, if you're just joining us. We're going to be chatting with our guest, Greg Sulzer, by telephone. He's the author of a new book entitled 27 Questions to Make You Sweat. Subtitle, A Workout Guide for the Soul. Greg, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today to talk about your book.
Thank you so much, Dave. I really appreciate being here.
So what was the impetus for writing this book? What got you started on this?
Wow. You know, I've been asked that now a bunch of times, and I know at one level, I could say I feel like I've wanted to write this book since I'm 18 years old. So that's just, you know, that's like some deep impetus. But the real impetus, I do these long meditation retreats, and one of my retreats that I finished probably like seven, eight years ago, I had this idea. I had just gotten divorced, and I had this idea I started dating, and I hadn't dated in a while, obviously, because I was married for a little while. So I had all these ideas for questions of dating, and so I started, it sort of started when I was in that retreat, and when I got back, you know, I started working on it, and I told my mom, and she sent me an article about 2 or 3 weeks later. It was basically very similar questions I had, but some guy had just written a book about it. And I thought, okay, I gotta throw that out. But I liked the idea of questions. You know, these weren't dating, but I said, okay, what if I transfer them to, you know, just the bigger life things? And also, it's just something I've always been into, because I've always sort of liked the idea of challenging people to questions that make them have to really dig.
Greg Sulzer is a certified life coach, a seeker, and a traveler. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, Greg?
Sure. So I grew up, a very privileged young man, and when I was a kid, I became a tennis player at a pretty young age, and I got really good, and I wanted to go pro, and that was sort of my life. But when I was 16, my dad lost his mind, lost all his money, real lost his money, like we had nothing. And I'd always played some music, so I sort of switched my focus at that time to music. I went to music school, and for a number of years, I traveled playing music. I mean, I got a record deal when I was out of college and blah, blah, blah. But I also, because my father was an analyst, I was always interested in psychology. I had thought about going back to school and becoming a therapist, like getting an MSW, but then I kind of liked the coaching thing better because it was not quite as time intensive, and it was a lot more, you could sort of do your own thing in a way, you know, which kind of really works with me because I'm not a huge guy that follows the rules that much. And so, you know, it's sort of always been, searching thing and reading psychology and understanding, that's just always been part of my life. I mean, and also just being in therapy for a little while when I was kids, my dad had us in therapy, and, you know, I've done some therapy, so I think that it can be healthy.
Your book is 27 questions. It's kind of like 27 short chapters, and you say that the questions will confront readers with ways of seeing their lives that they may not have fully considered. In fact, the first question that you ask is, do you examine your life? Can you expand on that a little bit? What do you mean by that, Greg?
Sure. So for me, you know, Dave, the idea, I think that when we examine things and we really take the time to look into something, whether it's our relationship with the people close to us, whether it's our job, whether it's how we feel about certain things. I think unless we actually take the time to really try to understand it, and this is the part that gets hard, is that I think if we're really trying to dig deep and do some analysis, it generally means it's going to get painful for a little while. You know, there's going to be something that's going to come up that's difficult to look at. And, you know, that first question, someone asked me that before, like, why is that first question, do you examine your life? And I think the reason I put it first is because that's sort of the basis for the whole book. The whole book is about examining questions that are, you know, I like to believe are a little difficult, that are going to, you know, really kind of make you have to look at things that you might not want to look at. And I think that that's the best way to grow. I mean, you know, I just was with a friend the other day, and she's going through what she's going through, and we talked a lot about fear, and I have been a big believer that the best way to deal with fear is to dive into the fear, because I don't really know any other way of getting over it, you know, other than diving into it and facing it.
Yeah, one of your other questions, question number 9, do you have one secret fear that is your constant companion? So I suppose in that chapter you delve a little deeper into this issue, eh?
Yeah, and I just get into the fears thing, and I was kind of joking with a friend the other day, and, you know, because, you know, the book's out now and I'm doing a bunch of stuff, and I just said to them, I said, look, man, I'm scared of everything, but I'm also scared of nothing. Like, because everything scares me too. I'm just a normal person. But I do know that you're not going to get over fears if you don't really kind of walk into that fear. You know, because, look, I've never met a person that has no fear. I mean, no fear would be, you know, that to me is an enlightened master. But I think by trying to address the fears and, you know, having courage to look at them, we can, you know, I mean, certain fears obviously are bigger than others. I think something that seems to be going on in my personal life a lot with a lot of friends is this idea of false equivalency, which is, do you know what that is, Dave? You know, it's like, you know, when you pit one thing against another, but they're not equal.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And, you know, certain fears, some fears are much deeper than others. I mean, a lot of people have asked me, how come I have this question about death? Well, I think that a lot of us say that the fear of death is like the ultimate fear. And I think if we can talk about it and look at it and, you know, just be honest about it, it makes everything else seem a little easier.
Yeah, that's question. Question number 13.
What do you talk about death?
Question number 13 in your book. Do you ever talk about death? We are chatting with Greg. We're chatting with Greg Sulzer. His last name is spelled Sulzer. If you're looking for him online, and he's the author of a new book entitled "27 Questions to Make You Sweat," and that title implies that some of these are pretty tough questions to think about and examine, right, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, that my goal is, I mean, when I was younger, Dave, I was very confrontational, and, you know, as I got older, I realized, okay, that doesn't always work, and, you know, I was another impetus for this book. It was like, you know what, I can have these really confrontational, difficult questions, but you can have them on your own time. You don't have to have me in your face. You know, you look at them as you want, because I do believe that we all have to look at our stuff on our own time frame. You know, we're all very different creatures, and some of us are a little more courageous and stronger than others, you know, so yeah, you can look at stuff and deal with it quicker. But I do think, I mean, that first question, you know, it's coming, do you examine your life? You know, with Socrates, it said, you know, an unexamined life is not worth living. And I kind of feel like, yeah, why are we here? I mean, I know that sounds so silly at some level, but if you really think about it, why are we here? What are we doing here on this planet? And I always end up with the same thing. I think we're here to love and forgive each other, to figure out how to love and forgive each other more. You know, I don't understand why we wouldn't forgive. I really don't understand that. I'm not a huge punishing kind of person. Not so sure. I mean, I'm a believer in consequences, but the punishment thing, you know, I don't know. It's not so sure how. Again, consequences are one thing. punishment, that's a different thing.
I'm holding a review copy of your book in my hand right now. The cover's interesting. It's when I first looked at it, it appears to be almost sunset, almost dark, looking at a mountain lake. But then as I look at it more closely, you can see the Milky Way in the dark sky. It's like the cosmos. Is there some significance to that?
I really love that because I like to sort of take the cosmic perspective, and again, without sounding too new agey, but, you know, we're connected, we're part of this universe, and we live in an ever-expanding universe. And I think when we can tune into that cosmic, that concept that we are part of this big, beautiful universe, I just think that it actually makes life easier. You know, that we're not these little tiny, yes, we're these tiny little beings, but we're in this amazing cosmic unfoldment. And I think a lot of us sometimes, we don't take in the fact that we're part of this beautiful, amazing universe that is, you know, it just keeps growing. It's getting bigger every day. And I think when you look at the stars, it does two things. It makes you, at least for me, I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, because I do my best every night to look up to the stars, it makes me feel like, how can I make anything that big a deal when I'm just this tiny being, this unbelievable, infinite cosmos? You know, that's one thing. You know, like, how can I get upset about these silly things? And then the other is that, how blessed am I, you know, that I'm alive? I know, again, that sounds so silly, but we're alive. It's a beautiful thing to be alive. And let's try to do something while we're alive, because we know we're all going to be dead pretty soon.
A couple of more quick questions in the time we have remaining. Does religion or faith play any part in your 27 questions, Greg Salzer?
Yeah, it plays a big part, because I talk right in the beginning, in the intro I talk about, I say, if you believe in God, beautiful, because it's all about God. If you don't believe in God, totally fine also, because I think you can live a life without having God. And if you just believe in science, I mean, I happen to believe in God very heavily, but I don't really call myself religious in the sense that for me, religion separates people, and I don't really want to be a separator. I'd like to be a unifier. I mean, I think it's beautiful if you have, I mean, I have a lot of faith, but again, to me, it's not a prerequisite to being a healthy, happy, good person.
You also have question that deals with love, with your romantic partner. When do you express attraction? That's something we should all think about, I guess, eh, Greg?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, I think the more we can think about how to treat each other well and how we can love each other more, I think that just makes everything better. And you know, I say to people all the time that if one person is being a little happier and a little more forgiving and a little more loving, from a selfish point of view, it's helping my life. Because when I go to the store, if the person helping me is feeling a little more love towards their husband or their wife or their kid, they're going to be in a better mood, and they're going to be more fun to talk to. And I think it's a good thing when we're feeling good.
It's a workout guide for the soul, 27 questions to make you sweat. By Greg Salzer has been our guest here on It's Your Turn. Greg, nice to talk with you. Interesting conversation here today.
Dave, great to talk to you. Thank you so much. And I just want to make a shout-out. You can find the book on Amazon, and you can also go to my Instagram page, which is just Greg Salzer, and you can go to gwscoaching.com. That's my website.
Oh, terrific, terrific. And again, Greg's last name is spelled S-U-L-Z-E-R, Greg Salzer. Thanks, Greg. Thanks so long now.
Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate it.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a Best Doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Just a little program note here before we talk about Smart Retirement with Mark Grimaldi. Coming up day after tomorrow, Thursday, right? That's day after tomorrow, Thursday. I have a special broadcast, be a live broadcast, live remote broadcast. The Pittsburgh Pirate Caravan, is going to be in Butler on Thursday. And this takes place this time of year, toward the end of January every year, a couple of weeks before the Pirates head to spring training down in Bradenton. And they will be leaving for that in a couple of weeks in the early part of February. So there'll be some Pirate players here in Butler for the caravan. We'll also be talking with former Patty Paetus, a Butler gal who's been working with the Pirates. She's been on the administrative staff of the Pirates for many, many years. We'll be talking with her about Pirate charities. So all of that coming up on the Thursday, special live remote broadcast here on WISR. And don't forget, we have the WISR Wine Festival this Saturday, Butler Days Inn, 14th year for that. We'll be chatting with a representative tomorrow of one of the other wineries, and there'll be several of them coming into town with their wares. We'll be talking with another of the wineries on tomorrow's program, among other things, tomorrow. Okay, quick break here, and then we'll talk about retiring smart with our next guest, Mark Grimaldi, here on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be right back. The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local. And there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Hey, here's a good way to beat the winter blahs. Get out of town for a few days. Why not take a trip with Butler Motor Tours? Butler Motor Tours, a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around for more than 75 years. And when you travel with Butler Motor Tours, you travel in comfort on one of their big motor coaches, their big cruisers. By the way, they always take trips down to Florida, too, in the winter months. So there's an idea to look at. If you want to check out their offerings, just go to their website. It's butlerbus.com. ButlerBus.com. All their upcoming trips are listed there with the dates and the itinerary and the cost and all of that. You can even book online if you so desire. And you can get gift certificates too. Butler Motor Tours. Check them out online at ButlerBus.com. That's Butler Motor Tours online at ButlerBus.com. Coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking with Mark Grimaldi, who visits with us by telephone. Mark Grimaldi is a certified fund specialist, chief economist, and money manager for No Load Sector Rotation Fund. And for the purposes of our discussion, he's also an author of Retire Smart, How to Plan for a Tax-Free Retirement. Mark, you talk in your book about a retirement crisis that we're headed for here in the United States. So why do you believe that? What's going on? Why a retirement crisis?
Well, you know what, Dave? It may be worse than I even say in the book. We may not be heading to one. We may be in one. As 10,000 baby boomers retire every day, they just haven't planned properly for that retirement. You know, that's why you and I go to all these Walmart, Kmart, McDonald's, and we see all these seniors still working. The reason they're still working is because, you know, it's not their fault, Dave. They were told a lie many, many years ago by, I don't want to say the government, but they were told that these 401ks and pension plans would be the fix-all, end-all. And they were never meant to be, and obviously they're not. And the reason they're not is because typically these pension plans will generate more in taxes for the U.S. government, for Uncle Sam, than the person would ever save getting that small little tax deduction when they put their money in. And that's what the book explains. The book explains, you know, the analogy I like to use, Dave, is, you know, Evel Knievel can tell you how to start the motorcycle, run the motorcycle, jump over the ramp, but it's the landing that puts them in the hospital. And right now we have 10,000 baby boomers landing their motorcycle every day, and they're realizing, this isn't working. I can't make it. I need to get a job. And what went wrong? And they don't know what went wrong. So we need to help people figure out what went wrong and figure out a better way to do it, because there are simple things the everyday person can do to reduce that drag. And the biggest expense most of us have in retirement is taxes. So how do we reduce that drag? How do we level the playing field? How do we get in a situation like Warren Buffett, where he's in a lower tax bracket than the secretary? And that's what the book explains.
We don't have to go back too far, a couple of generations, to where it was pretty much a fixed pension plan for many middle class and lower income people. Fewer and fewer companies are offering that, and it's becoming more and more a 401k strategy for retirement. You say in your book, Mark Grimaldi, that that is not a good option for retirement savings. Why not?
It's not a good option for several reasons, and this call is very timely because GE announced that they're suspending their traditional pension plan for 20,000 employees. It's not a good idea for these two main reasons. A traditional old pension plan allowed the employee to understand that at retirement they're going to get X number of dollars per month that they can no longer outlive. You know, you retire, you check a few boxes, the company sends you a check every month for as long as you're alive. So it reduces the amount of expenses that you have, meaning you know your money's going to last for as long as you're alive. And there's a comfort to that. But the bigger problem, Dave, is that now with the invention of the 401ks, which, as you know, are participant-driven, now 100 million Americans are their own pension managers. They're responsible for making their own pension choices. Do you realize right now in this country, it's illegal for a stockbroker to give you advice on your 401k? Can't do it. Illegal. So right now we have 100 million 401k participants who have a 401k. They get a choice of 10 or 15 funds. If they call the provider gives them a pie chart and says, good luck. Because they can't give them advice. They can't sit down with Dave Malarkey and say, Dave, based on everything I know about you, this is how you should invest your 401k. Can't do it. So we have it basically eliminated that annuity or that monthly check that people can count on that they can't outlive, and it converted 100 million of us to money managers. And as you and I both know, a lot of professional money managers aren't very good, let alone mom and pop picking their own investments and being at the mercy of the Wall Street sharks. Well, so this has created a crisis.
So with
I'm on a one-man mission to fix that crisis. My book explains how to put yourself in a position to lower your taxes and how to put yourself in a position to be prepared for retirement.
With a lot of Americans being their own pension managers, a lot of them are not doing it. I guess over 20% of Americans have nothing saved for the future, Mark?
Nothing, not a penny. So which means they're going to get their Social Security check, and I'm a big believer in Social Security. You know, I don't look at it as entitlement because it's more of an investment. You put money in, you get money out. For some of us, it's a better investment than others, you know, and stuff like that. But that's all they have, and they have nothing else saved. Zero. And this is something where the average person needs to understand that even saving a little money will help. But the problem that Americans have is just facing the truth, Dave. When I say facing the truth, quick little story. 2005, 2006, I'm publishing articles on how the housing market's going to crash. I'm going on radio shows, I'm doing lectures, I'm talking to people, and this was the general consensus of what I heard back in 2006, 2005, 2006, Dave. What I heard is, boy, Mark, what you're saying makes sense, but not my house. Maybe my neighbor's house is going to go down, or the guy down the block, or the other town's going to go down, but not my house. Same things are happening in retirement right now. They know there's a problem, but everyone thinks, not me, I'm fine. Well, you're not fine. You need to take control of your retirement. First step you need to do is figure out when you're going to be debt-free. And I know this scares the pants off both Americans to sit down and say, okay, based on my debt, based on how much I'm paying, what's my debt-free date? That is step number one. Whenever I talk to somebody, let's figure out your debt-free date, and then we can figure out when you're going to retire. Because debt is, as we know about investments, debt is a huge problem in this country. Dave, I don't know when it became acceptable to retire with so much debt. I have no idea. And you know what? Shame on the government for making people realize, you know, your house is an ATM. Your house isn't an ATM. You know, we talked a little bit before, and you said nobody had anything saved for retirement, and you're 100% right. But back in the day, you used to have your defined benefit pension plan and your house. And your house was paid off, and your house was worth a lot of money paid off. Well, nobody has the house paid off anymore. The amount of people in their 60s and 70s that are carrying debt on their house, do they realize every time they refinance it, they're just buying it back from themselves at a higher price? You know, I don't know. It's not acceptable. I don't know when the culture changed to think that debt was good. Some debt is good. Some debt is necessary. But if you want to retire, you need to reduce the debt, reduce the interest you're paying on your debt, and reduce the taxes you're paying in retirement, because those are the two biggest drags that I find in 30 years as an economist. The two biggest problems people are having is, hey, I'm paying taxes on every penny I touch in my 401k, and I'm still paying interest on this debt.
We're talking.
The book addresses both of those.
We're talking to Mark Grimaldi, author of Retire Smart: How to Plan for a Tax-Free Retirement. So you claim in your book that 401k is not a good option for retirement savings. What about the Roth 401k? That was approved by Congress a few years ago. What's the difference between a traditional 401k and a Roth?
A Roth 401k, Dave, is definitely a step in the right direction, but it's a tiny step, and it's one of 100 steps. We need to do much more. Because a Roth IRA, I like the fact that you pay the taxes on your Roth IRA going in, and you can pull it out tax-free. However, between both those days, there's a world of restrictions that the book talks about in terms of how long it has to be there, when you can touch it, when you can do this. And there's also limits on how much you can put into a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k. It's limited in terms of how much you make. It's just, if you saw the cover of my book, you'd see that basically on the left-hand side, I have all the restrictions to retirement, and on the right-hand side, none. None of these restrictions need to be there. Anyone can take any amount of their income and put it away for retirement in a tax-efficient way. I love it when these politicians say, well, thanks to me, you know, I just increased the amount of money people can save for their retirement. What are they talking about? Dave, you and I can put any amount of money we want for retirement. They make it sound like they did us a favor. They didn't do us a favor. Every time the government calls, you know you have a problem. A Roth 401k and IRA is definitely a step in the right direction, and right now they're working on a new proposal in Congress called the Secure Plan. The Secure Plan is, again, a step in the right direction, but you don't need the government in your retirement. I spend the whole chapter saying get the government out of your retirement, figure out how much you need to save, and just save it in a tax-efficient way. Put your money. Here's another example I want to give, Dave, if I could.
Sure.
You invest money in your 401k or any kind of pension plan. I'm not just picking off 401ks, a SEP, a SOSEP, anything like that. And you pick one of the investments in the plan, you know, one of the mutual funds, one of the 10 that they may have. That goes up in value, okay? And then you decide, I don't want that fund anymore, so you sell it. You basically made a capital gain. You bought it at X, you sold it at Y, that's a capital gain. Inside a 401k, that capital gain is taxed as income when it comes out to you. outside of 401k, that's taxes with capital gain. For 95% of Americans, that capital gain is zero. So you basically opened up a situation where you're going to have capital gains in your pension plan, and you converted those from extremely low taxes to earned income. Why in the world would anyone do that? Why hasn't anybody explained to the average person if you do that, that happens? So all those tax advantages are gone, completely gone. The other issue is how often you can touch your plan. You know, it's full of restrictions. The 459.5, you have this penalty, that penalty, 70.5. The tax code for retirement plans is 100,000 pages. My book is 170 pages of simple, easy to understand, explaining three different tax codes that you just have to use in your favor, and most people use two every day. The secrets are hidden in plain sight, and Uncle Sam's not going to tell you, and you know Wall Street's not going to tell you. So let me, if I can, talk, give you an idea of how powerful these tax plans are. The last time that we had a surplus in this country was in Bill Clinton's last year as president. The reason we had the surplus, and again, I'm neutral. I don't care who's in the White House. My job is to understand their agenda and pass it on to my shareholders. The reason we had this surplus is because of the sell-off that the stock market had in 1999 and 2000 and realized all these gains, which generated, you know, all these taxes. And as people pulled out of their 401k, it generated all these taxes. That was the secret to Bill Clinton's surplus. But I don't want to get too complicated because really, to do what I lay out in the book is extremely, extremely simple, Dave.
Our time begins to run out. We have only a minute or so left. But there's one other thing that I wanted to mention you recommend in your book is delaying Social Security for as long as you can. Why do that, Mark?
Well, because the sooner you take it, the bigger the discount is. But I always like joke with my readers, you know, they only have to answer one question, and I'll tell them when to take Social Security. Just tell me the day you're going to pass away. And if that way, I'll be able to calculate the exact right time to take Social Security. And I say it tongue-in-cheek because we don't know. But if you can delay it, it's always better to. But who am I to sit here and say, it's very hard for somebody to say no to money. I mean, if all you have to do is check a box and get a check in the mail. But that discount that you have to pay is a permanent discount that you have to live with your whole life. But some people need to have that discount. But you can delay Social Security, and the more you delay it, the bigger the check will be. And a lot of people don't realize that you can, at any point, once you turn 62, any month after that you can collect. A lot of people think it has to be on your birthday, 62, 63, 64. And any month after that you can decide to start collecting.
Mark Grimaldi, our guest. He's the author of Retire Smart, How to Plan for a Tax-Free Retirement, just published this fall. Mark, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us for a few minutes here today.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate your time.
Sure. So long now. Just a reminder about the upcoming WISR Wine Festival. This will be our 14th year, believe it or not, for the Wine Festival. It's this Saturday, the Butler Days Inn. We have two sessions, which we've had for quite a few years now. There's an afternoon session, if that fits your schedule, 2 to 5 p.m. Saturday. Or if you'd rather come in the evening, if that works better for you, fine. We have another session from 6 to 9. Pennsylvania wineries and distilleries will be there, quite a few of them. You get a souvenir wine glass with your ticket and, of course, free wine tasting, too. There'll be specialty vendors and food samples as well. Tickets are $20 in advance. You can get them here at the radio station, 252 Pillow Street in the city of Butler. You can get them online, too, at WISR.com. Or you can get them at the door. They'll be $25 at the door on Saturday. Obviously, this is a wine tasting event, so you must be 21 years of age or older to attend. It's the WISR Wine Festival. Hope to see you there. It's a lot of fun. A lot of people, a lot of fun this Saturday at the Butler Days Inn. That wraps up our It's Your Turn program for today. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow, 12:30.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
To me.